use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So he says, don't give in to your flesh, but by love serve one another. He says the ability and the liberty you have now is to serve others and to be what God would have you to be. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. By the way, Jesus quantified the Ten Commandments. He said, you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two, hang all the law and all the prophets, loving God and loving others the way you want to be loved. Amen. And so he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So in verse 1, he said, don't be entangled with the law. Verses 13, 14, and 15, he said, you need to love others and serve them and be an example and a testimony to them. Then he lets you know that if you're going to walk in the Spirit, it's going to allow you liberty. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. He said, now, I'm going to let you know there's a struggle here. It's going to be an inward battle between your flesh and your spirit. He said, if you're walking in the flesh, you can't do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, notice how he changes gears. He lets them know that liberty's in Christ. The law is bondage. Walk in the liberty. Walk in the Spirit. Don't give in to the flesh. Because if you give in to the flesh, you cannot love God the way you should, and you can't love others the way you should. But then notice what he says in verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, he's saying that you're not going to be able to love others the way you should, because that's what you should do according to verse number 14 and 15. You're not going to be able to love others the way you should if you're in the flesh. And he's saying this is what the flesh does to others. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He says, if I missed anything, if it's similar to these, that's what's going to happen. If you're walking in the flesh, this is what you're going to be capable of doing towards God or somebody else. What I just mentioned. And he says this. The such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, if you're doing those things, you're living like you're not saved, and unsaved people don't inherit the kingdom of God. But now on the other hand, he said, if you're walking in the Spirit, this is what's going to manifest in your life towards others and towards God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He said, there's no law against those things. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We live in the Spirit. Let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. He says, now I'm letting you know you have been made free with the liberty Christ given you. But I'm warning you also, if you're in the flesh, this is what you're going to manifest to others. This is what you're going to do to others. This is what you're going to do towards God. But I'm also letting you know, if you walk in the Spirit, this is what you're going to manifest toward God and toward others. So he says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's very important, very vital that we understand what Paul is letting the church at Galatia know, because it applies to you and I. Amen. And we've got to walk in the Spirit, or we're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when we fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's going to be against God and against others.
Yes, sir.
And we're commanded to love others.
Yes, sir, we are.
Father, bless now this morning. Give us a comprehension of what's going on here. Lord, as we've been studying this for the past two sermons, dealing with an extraordinary nature for an ordinary nature, God, we don't want to be ordinary. We have got to be extraordinary to live and to love the way we ought to. The works of the flesh are manifest, and they're ugly. But Lord, if we walk in the Spirit, oh, what a difference it's going to make in our lives and towards society. Help us today, Lord, to get a handle of the Word of God and to see more of what is required in our lives. And Lord, if we're walking in the flesh, it is a dangerous road to tread. And I do pray that if there is one here today that, Lord, is not sure that heaven is their home, they would ask you to be their Lord and their Savior today. They would confess their sins and repent of sin, turn to Jesus Christ to save them, and receive Jesus Christ today. Well, we thank you and love you for what you've given us. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and give me direction, and give me guidance, and give me utterance, give me boldness, give me confidence and conviction by the Spirit's power, that I may preach and teach boldly as I ought to, and say what I need to. Lord, that you would get all praise, all honor, and all glory. Anoint the ears of the hearers, anoint their hearts, they may be ready to hear, ready to receive, and then ready to act upon that which they have received. And Lord, make us, Lord, what you would have us to be, conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we say it's been good to be in thy house today, and may we truly leave differently than when we came in, a little bit more like Jesus Christ, conformed to his image. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Ms. Dawson has our special. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. I do trust that's your prayer to God. I want to be faithful. Amen. Because God does require us to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Amen. Faithful. Well, praise the Lord. This is the third message that we're preaching in this area. Dealing with an extraordinary nature for an ordinary nature. By the way, at birth, you're born with an ordinary nature. And it was a sinful nature. And guess what? It has not matured. It is still a sinful nature. You say, preacher, when do I get an extraordinary nature? When you get saved. Amen. When you get saved, you get an extraordinary nature. And so God has given you an extraordinary nature if you're saved today in exchange for the ordinary nature that you have. Amen. By the way, the ordinary nature is the flesh. And we already saw they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. And so when you're dealing with this area here, Paul lets us know in verse number 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. In other words, he's saying, not that you're saved, stand fast in your salvation. And I compared getting saved and receiving Christ to buying or renting a house. And the old tenants don't move out. And you're living in the house with an old tenant and a new tenant. You happen to be the new tenant. The old tenant does not move out. Amen. And if you could, for comparison's sake, how many of y'all remember The Odd Couple with Felix Unger and Oscar Madison? Felix was a very neat guy. I mean, everything was together. He was just very, very, very organized. Oscar was the slob. I mean, he was just a dirty person, stuff everywhere, you know, a sandwich in the bed with him, you know, and stuff like that. The flesh would be comparable to Oscar Madison. The spirit would be comparable to Felix Unger, always wanting to do the right thing. So when you got saved, you had the Oscar and Felix mentality. The flesh being Oscar wanted to do all the dirtbag things that are wrong. Felix wanted to do what's right, the spirit, amen. And the old tenant did not move out, which is Oscar Madison. However, you own the house and you call the shots. Amen. How many of y'all tell your children that? Hey, look, I own this house. Amen. And so I call the shots. Amen. Hey, by the way, children should not call the shots at home. They don't know all the things about living and society and things of that nature. They want to try to call the shots. But it's your home. You pay the bills, whether you're renting or whether you're buying or whatever the case may be. The parent owns the place and they pay the bills. Amen. But if you let children, they will give you all sorts of suggestions, won't they? If this was my house, I'd let me stay up all night. If this was my house, I'd let me eat all the sugar I want. If this was my house, we'd have dessert all the time. If this was my house, we'd have video games 24 hours a day. If this was my house, and the parent steps in and said, but it's not your house. So you're going to abide by my rules. And when we get saved, you and I have the authority just like that. The old tenant or the old man will give you suggestions on what you should do with your flesh. Amen. And what you've got to do is say, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, no. Sit down. I'm the one doing this. Amen. You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be crucified. The old tenant will always give you suggestions on how to run the house. That's why Paul gives the instruction in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He says, for the flesh is lusting against the spirit, desiring against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary. They're spiritually in a tug of war, opposite. The one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Why? Oscar Madison wants to be dirty. Yep. Felix wants to be clean. Yep. Oscar Madison being the flesh, Felix being the spirit. Yes. And so he says, I need you to make sure that you're walking in the spirit. Or you won't, or you will fulfill the lust of the flesh, or the old tenant will have his ways, or the old man will have his ways. And given the chance, the old tenant or the flesh will do verses 19, 20, and 21, which we just read. And if he does 19, 20, and 21, you will not be able to perform verses 14 and 15, which is loving one another, because you will be contrary to them and you'll be contrary to God. But if the flesh is in control, he's saying you will be able to fulfill verses 22 and 23, which we will eventually get down there. We're going through the flesh or the self test right now, the flesh test, self test, however you want to make it. And he says in verse number 19, it's manifest, which means that they're visible. So as you go down through here, you can actually take the flesh test to see if you're in the flesh or in the spirit. And I mentioned to you there's three categories here, and we already went through one category. Notice what he says down there in verse number 19, because that was category number one. And what was category number one? Category number one was immoral sins. And these are sins against the body. He says down there, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, sin against the body; fornication, sin against the body; uncleanness, sin against the body; lasciviousness. Why? Those are immoral sins that give you impurities of mind, impurities of heart, which will lead to impurities in deeds. Amen. Say, preacher, that doesn't sound good. It's no good.
No good.
There's nothing good in those verses. And by the way, he told the Corinthians the same thing. And he told them this encouragement: and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are cleaned. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. So I may have been guilty of these things once upon a time: adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. But the Spirit of God's made me free. Hallelujah for the blood of the Lamb. I'm no longer what I used to be. I may not be what I need to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
And he lets them know, hey, there's something going on here that you need to be aware of. People will see these things. They're manifest. And those were category number one: the immoral sins, sins against the body. Then we came up, or we're coming up to category number two. Category number two. These are religious sins, and there's only two in this category. The first one is idolatry. The second one is witchcraft. Idolatry and witchcraft. Say, preacher, how are those sins against worship? Because anything that you put before God becomes your God.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
We've gotten sophisticated now, though. We don't have idols like this anymore. And we don't bow down to them anymore. We have stuff like cars that we worship. We have stuff like jobs that we worship. We have stuff like children that we worship. We have things like a parent that we worship. We have things like a friend that we worship. We have things like a television that we worship. We bow down to the television. Oh, mighty television, tell me what you want me to do today. Well, I want you to do exactly what they're doing on TV. By the way, when beer commercials come on in my house, we turn the TV. Why? Beer commercials tell your kids that it's okay to drink beer. If you drink beer, you're going to be like this person on the television. They're out there having fun, playing volleyball. Looking at the girl.
Yeah.
And she's looking all seductive. That's what it tells your kids. And it's a subliminal message that's there. That if you drink this alcohol, you'll be like them.
Yep.
No, you will be not like them.
Right,
you'll be in the gutter.
Yeah, you
I'm just saying.
Yes, sir,
so we come to this category, religious sins, category number two, religious sins or sins against worship. Idolatry is the first one that's listed here. What is Paul trying to say? He's trying to let them know that if you walk in the Spirit, you won't do these things. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you're in the flesh, this will be manifest. People will see it. You can't love others and you can't love God the way you're supposed to. This is the flesh test or the self test. He says down there, idolatry. What is idolatry? It's worshiping things above God, and it equals itself to covetousness. Turn, hold your finger there and go over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. It equals itself to covetousness. Why? Because you want something to put before God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Notice what Paul tells the Colossae church here. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, same thing he just listed to Galatia. Uncleanness, same thing he just listed. Inordinate affection is close to lasciviousness. Evil concupiscence, amen. You say, preacher, what is that? It's desiring something that you know is forbidden. And it's not right. It's morally corrupt, amen. And then he says this, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. So covetousness is idolatry. Wanting something else says, I'm not satisfied with what you gave me, God, and I got to go my own route and get what I want.
Oh boy.
It's the equivalent of covetousness. Go back over there to the area where we want there, Galatians chapter 5. So he mentions idolatry. Anything that gets your attention ahead of God is your God. It becomes idolatry. Whether it's power, prestige, and position, those are some of the key ones. Or whether it's jobs, money, or sports, or recreation, those are key.
Yes, sir.
In other words, anything that you put before God becomes your God. Here is a simple flesh test or self test. What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? Of course, after you get your coffee and go relieve yourself, amen. What's the first thing you do? For most folks, it's get the newspaper. For most folks, it's get on the phone and see what you got. For most folks, it's going and walk the dog or whatever. Now, walking the dog may be necessary, amen. That may be necessary. But for most folks, it's getting on the internet or doing something like that. And then God finds his place way at the rear of your morning. You know what that is? Idolatry. You have just put something for God. What he said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. What do you say in Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, most folks don't start the day with God, and so the day begins to go downhill fast, and then you wonder why you're on a slippery slope going downhill, manifesting things that you ought not manifest.
That's right,
Pastor. Idolatry. All of us are guilty of it in some way, shape, fashion, or form. We do everything but what we know we ought to do because God now gets a back seat. How about if God gave you a back seat? Well, I'm going to answer everybody else's prayers but yours. You're not as important as this next person, so you get Ray in the back of the line. How many people are in line, Lord? 8 billion. I'll get to you eventually. I'm eternal. But I'm not. But if you die, that's okay. You're going to heaven still. You're saved. I just want to answer your prayers. How about if God put us on the back burner? We'd be fuming mad. God, I prayed 3 seconds ago. You didn't do nothing yet. That's how we live.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
But what do we put before God? Idolatry. We're all guilty of it in some way, shape, fashion, or form. All of us. But it's putting something ahead of God. Notice what Israel did over in Exodus chapter 32. Of course, this is the account of Moses going on the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. And when Moses comes down, of course, they have done wrong and they have tried to make them a god. Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, they try to convince Aaron to make a god. And by the way, you can make a god. You can make a God can be anything that you worship other than God. Can children be God? Yes.
Yeah.
No, let me change that. Can children be a God? Yes.
Yeah.
Can movies be a God? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Shoes? Yes. Purses? Yes. Shoes? Yes. Clothes? Yes. Ties? Yes. 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 And yes. Hair? Yes.
Yeah.
You find yourself up in the mirror all the time. Look at my hair. Go out to the store and get a mirror. Or your figure, get in that mirror. Boy, look at how I'm shaped. Ooh. Better get something to tighten up this thing here. Or your clothes, look at my physique. Tony Atlas. Dwayne Johnson. Anything that you put before God becomes your God. Exodus 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods. They didn't say one. They said, make us plural. Gods. Now notice that. It's taking plural gods to replace God Almighty, Jehovah. It's taking plural to replace Jehovah. Make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a golden calf. And they said, these be thy what? Gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And then come down there to verse number 8. They have turned aside. This is what God said. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto, or gave their sacrifices to this thing, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Talk about a vivid imagination.
Oh.
Whoa. The last time I checked, that golden calf did not come out before them in Egypt. Last time I checked, that golden calf didn't do anything to Pharaoh. Last time I checked, that thing did nothing with bringing the frogs and the lice and the rivers to blood. And last time I checked, that thing did none of the sort. Last time I checked, that thing got made by some gold. And according to Aaron, out jumped that calf. Amen. According to Moses or Aaron, that's what happened. And so he had nothing to do with what happened to get them out of Egypt. But what did they say? These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Israel. Preacher, we would never do such a thing. I'll give you a few statements that we often say. We claim our jobs got us out of debt. Come on now. Boy, if I didn't have that job, if I didn't have that money, no, God got you out of that debt. We claim our wisdom getting us out of a jam. Boy, I'm glad I thought of that. I'm glad God gave you a brain. Better give him the glory. He can take your smarts away. We claim our paychecks in getting us food and clothing. No, last time I checked, God gave you that. We claim our physical ability in getting a job. Last time I checked, God gave you that. He is responsible for promotion. He putteth one up and putteth another one down, the Bible says. Promotion cometh from the Lord. But yet and still, we can say, like Israel, these be thy gods, O people, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. We can say the same thing. Moses gave them some warning over in Deuteronomy. Come over to Deuteronomy chapter number 8 real quick with me. What am I saying? The flesh is manifest this way. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Moses gave them a warning, and he's given us a warning too. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 17. The men talk about this often in the Bible, the giving challenges. Verse 17, and thou say, he's saying basically, once you get yourself full, and once you have a lot of things that you didn't work for, he said, you better watch out. Matter of fact, notice verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not who? The Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest that when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be what? Lifted up, and thou what? Forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Come down to verse number 17. And thou say in thine heart, notice this, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. Why are a lot of people not doing well? They forgot God. Yes, sir. They're worshiping other gods. The gods of gold, the gods of money, the gods of silver, the gods of Hollywood, the gods of hip-hop, the gods of rock music, the gods of exercise and physical physique, the gods of lifestyle and Hollywood and the dressing and things like that, and all those other things. They're worshiping that, and God's got back seat. Now, they haven't ditched God. Remember that. Yeah. Israel has not ditched God. God has just taken a back seat, and the gods have taken the front seat. See, we don't just out and out ditching God and say, God, I don't want you. We just say, God, you just stay in the back seat until I need you. When I need directions, I'll call you. But right now, I'm okay with my God up here in the front, because he's paying my bills, and he's got my food on the table, and he's got me promotion, and he's got me this. But God, when I get in the jam, I'll call on you. We look at Israel and we say, I would never do that. And we do. And all of us are guilty. Idolatry. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. He said, they're manifest, which are these. Idolatry, the next one, is witchcraft under religious sins, the sins against worship. Sins against worship. By the way, we say the same things that Israel said anytime these things first get first place before God. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to put before God? Witchcraft is the next one in this of worship. You say, preacher, witchcraft, they don't even go together. It's drug use. By the way, when they had many of the religious festivals and feasts that were ungodly, the Canaanites, you know what most of that involved? Alcohol and drugs. Alcohol and drugs.
What do most parties involve nowadays? Alcohol and drugs. And then you throw in some music to heighten it up. Amen. Witchcraft is the word, the Greek word we get pharmacy from. It is pharmakeia. And we get our word pharmacy from this Greek word. It means the use of drugs or the administration of drugs or using drugs for the feeling's sake, like a drunk uses alcohol. That's what we're talking about. And so he says, if you're going to walk in the flesh, it's going to be manifest in idolatry, sins against worship, or also into witchcraft. And oftentimes that's what was used. By the way, drugs are also used in connection with the occult, bringing one into contact with worship of Satan that is expressly forbidden in the Word of God. By the way, in the last days, I think you'll find this interesting. In the last days, one of the things that's going to characterize society is an excessive use of drugs.
There you go, Pastor.
One of the things going to characterize the last days is excessive use of drugs. They are already legalizing marijuana.
Yes, sir, they are, Pastor.
It will just get worse. They already have a certain percentage of American society on drugs.
Wow.
I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about big-time drugs that make you space out, make you forget this, and make you deal with that. Hey, if you just get with Jesus, he'll help you.
Yes, sir, he will.
We don't need drugs. Now, some people do need some certain drugs, amen. I'm not going to try and doctor you out of that, amen.
Amen.
Certain people do need certain things. But God Almighty is the great physician. If he made you, he knows how to heal you. First thing we want to do is run to Dr. Shrink. Can you shrink my problems for me? Here, take this pill, and this will shrink all of your problems. It'll shrink your head, too. First thing we do, we want to run to Dr. Shrink and get a pill to shrink our problems. You don't need a pill to shrink your problem. You need Jesus to help you deal with your problems. And some people just need to go to somebody else and say, will you please forgive me? I wronged you. Or, hey, look, you wronged me. Will you forgive me? And get it covered under the blood. Some folks just need to do business with God and somebody else. But instead, we want to get a pill and turn off the lights. Scare some of y'all. I thought, oh, what happened? Oh, my drug use is catching up with me. It's getting black in here. Turn over to Revelations real quick with me. Revelations. Revelations chapter 9. By the way, the Christians get out in the rapture in chapter number 4 of Revelation. And now God is pouring out judgment on the world. And he's going through the different judgments and the different trumpets and the different punishments on man. And you come up to the sixth trumpet when men are being killed because of their ungodliness. And notice Revelations chapter number 9. And notice verse number 20. They're just finished getting bit by the scorpions there. Notice verse 19. And for their powers in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads with them, and they do hurt. And notice verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, this is during the revelation, during the tribulation time, repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship who? Devils. And what? Idols. What are you talking about? Idolatry goes hand in hand with witchcraft. Idols, and of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Now notice verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries. The same Greek word that Paul used for witchcraft over there is the same Greek word here for sorceries, drug use. They didn't repent of their sorceries or their drug use, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. What am I saying? Drug use, witchcraft is going to be characterized. Folks, it's more popular now than ever.
Yes.
It's just under a different disguise. It's just under a different thing now. It's in vogue now. Disney Channel and the rest of these channels have Charmed out there trying to make it look good. Back in our days, it was I Dream a Genie.
Yes, sir.
It was Bewitched back in our days. Now it's just glamorized now. They've got these guys that do all this stuff, cloak and dagger and all the rest of this stuff. It's witchcraft, it's sorcery, it's sin, and it's going to characterize this nation more and more.
Yes, sir.
More and more. to the point where people are going to be so inebriated with drugs, they can't make a conscious choice and decision on what's right and what's wrong. How else can America legalize gay marriage? How else can America legalize abortion? How else can we let these things go on and on and kick prayer out of school and go and do mass shootings in schools? How much further do we have to go? What am I saying? Witchcraft, idolatry. There's sins against worship. We should be worshiping God, but when we turn to worship the devil, all sorts of mayhem happens. And that's where we find ourselves. That's where we find ourselves. Say, preacher, is it that bad? It's worse. It's worse. It's worse than you and I ever know. The Bible still says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I can't see the evil that is happening right before our eyes, but the satanic forces are there. Why do you think we can't get people in the house of God? Satan has bamboozled them into having another thing to worship during this time. Idolatry. He has fooled them into thinking what you're doing is more important than being in God's house, because he knows a message like this will be preached when we take a flesh test and we find out where we really are. And if I don't hear it, I'm not responsible for it. But you are. But you are. Because you've got the Spirit in you if you're saved. Go back to Galatians. Last days will be marked by witchcraft. It'll be marked by idolatry, because men will love themselves more than being lovers of God. Witchcraft, drug use is already on the rise legally. Which brings us to our third category. Category 3, social sins. These are sins against others. And that's why Paul warned us in verse number 13, for brethren, you have not been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said that for this reason. We should be loving God first, loving others second. If you're walking in the flesh, this is what you're going to manifest. Category number 1, adultery, fornication. Uncleanness, lasciviousness. Category number 2, idolatry, witchcraft. The first one, sins against the body, immoral sins. The second one, religious sins, sins against worship. And then this third category is sins against others, social sins. These are things that if you do these things, it will be manifested towards somebody else. By the way, you can hate God all you want to. It won't hurt God a bit. But you hate your neighbor, you end up killing them. Because at the root of hate is murder. Amen. So he goes into this third category here. Social sins, sins against others. The first one is hatred. Hatred. By the way, children are not born hating. Children are not born hating. Children are taught to hate. Now, they're born sinners. I understand that. But children are taught to hate. Children are taught bigotry. Children are taught prejudice. Children are taught to think this race of people is worse than that race. We're all sinners. There is no bad race and good race. The Jewish race is God's people, amen. We understand that, but that doesn't make them any better than anybody else. They're just God's chosen one to bring the Savior through that lineage, because somebody had to do it. So there is nobody bigger or smaller or worse, and hatred is at the epitome of all of that. We teach our children, well, that's a black person, they're not smart. Well, that's a white person, they're smart. Well, that's a Hispanic person, they're lazy. Well, that's a Chinese person, you know, they love electronics. We teach our kids stuff like that. Well, they're black, so they can jump and run. Now, some of that is true, amen. But I can show you plenty of black slow people. I can show you plenty of black people that can't jump. Hey, I went to school with a boy that played running back with me. He ran the 40-yard dash in a 4.4. I ran it in 4.6. He ran it in 4.4. And I looked at him and I thought, glory to God, where you get that? He didn't look fast. He didn't have muscles like I had. But my muscles didn't give me no speed like him. And I thought, how in the world can you run that fast? So he must have had some black in his blood. Hey, he had no black in his blood. He's just fast. God blessed him. We teach that kind of junk. What is hatred? It's dark, ugly feelings of bitterness. It's hostility. It's enmity. It's a contempt and a loathing of another person. And folks, if you and I don't get a hold of that, we will manifest hatred towards someone. Well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what you did against God. You helped nail Jesus on the cross. Well, that's different. No, it's not. It's sin. It's all sin. But when I'm walking in the flesh, I will manifest hatred. It's an hostility. It's an ugliness. It's a bitterness. If you had to put it out there, it would look like a disease. It would look disgusting. It would look putrid. It would look stinky and smelly, because it is. Folks, there's only one thing that you and I should hate, and that's sin. We should hate sin and love the sinner. But we got to the point where we hate the sin and we hate the sinner. And sometimes we hate the sinner worse than we hate the sin, because we indulge in the same sin. Come on now.
Amen.
We indulge in the same sin, so I can't hate the sin so bad, but I can sure hate you. Hatred is the first thing involving in these social sins, sins against others. The next one is variance. It's an attitude of strife. It's a person that's constantly quarrelsome. They're especially disagreeing with authority. It's contention, debate. You say it's black, they say it's white. You say it's white, they say it's black. You say it's plaid, they say it's checkered. You say it's green, they say it's orange. You say it's sunny, they say it's dark. They don't agree with you. They're constantly against you, and they're especially against authority. And churches are filled with them. Places of employment are filled with them. Houses are filled with them, because the children are that way. The mom is that way. The dad is that way. Variance, attitude of strife, constantly quarrelsome. Can't just obey authority. And folks, we're raising a generation like that. And they're going into workplaces thinking their way is the right way. And that's why they go from job to job to job to job to job to job. Well, why do you keep going to so many jobs? Well, nobody seems to like me over there, and they can't do anything right. Could it possibly be you, since they didn't leave and you did? Variance. This fleshly desire comes from a desire for attention and a need to prove that I'm right. I'll just quit and show that I'm right. I won't participate and show that I'm right. I'll do my own thing and show them I'm right. You had variance. Social sins, sins against others, is variance. Hey, you passing the flesh test? Well, preacher, I'm glad none of those sins are my sins. There's one for you, trust me. Emulations is the next one that he lists. It's inner feelings of resentment that someone else has what we want. And it's a cousin to jealousy, emulations. It's an enviousness and a contentious rivalry. I want what you want, or inwardly I want what I see what you have, and I deserve that more than you do. Emulations, feeling a resentment that's inner. Someone else has what we want. Then there's wrath. Wrath is fierce passion. Wrath. And he lists them: hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. It's a swelling up with anger. It's a raging resentment. It's violent anger, and it comes from the flesh's desire to strike out at anything that threatens its self-interest. King Saul is the epitome of this. Hold your finger there. King Saul's kingdom was threatened by David, so he thought. David had no desire to dethrone King Saul by death. He said, you know what? King Saul's going to end up dying one of these days. And when he dies, I'm going to be king. Jonathan, his own son, even saw that. He said, one day you're going to be king. He said, when you be king, I'll be next to you. But Saul didn't see that, because Saul was faced with wrath. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Show you what I'm talking about. And folks, we're going to have to stop here. Y'all not listening fast enough. Amen. 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 1. It came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and let him go no more home to his father's house. And then David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and his girdle. And what he is saying here is that you are sovereign. I am your subject. And I know one day you're going to be king. I understand that. I acknowledge that. But Saul couldn't get that through his head. Verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So that's David. He behaved himself wisely. But come down to verse number 7. The women answered at one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, notice this, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? You know what that is? Emulations. You know what that is? Variance. You know what that is? Hatred. You know what that is? He's about to experience wrath. Verse number 10. Verse number 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Verse 11. And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, notice what wrath will do, I will smite David even to the wall with it. What do children often do? Oftentimes when you leave them to themselves, they'll clunk another kid in a heartbeat. They will be so full of emulation and variance and hatred, they don't know that's what it is at that point, and they will experience wrath, and they will clunk another child upside the head quicker than you can shake a stick. And mamas and daddies, if you don't step in and set the record straight, they'll grow up trying to clunk everybody they see. And they'll be justified in it because you have what I want, and I'm going to take it from you. The streets are filled with people like that. Nowadays, they don't have something to clunk. They got guns. They will take what they want from you. And I'm telling you, if you don't correct that behavior whilst they're young and tighten their little bottoms up, they're going to give you grief. You'll be visiting me in the penitentiary. Amen. Or worse, at the cemetery. Because one day they're going to meet up with somebody that's been raised the same way they've been raised. And somebody's going to get the best of them. I want that. You want what? Well, take this. Well, I'll just shoot them first. No, you won't. Kids have a warped logic. He says, and David avoided out of his presence. Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. So you're going to get mad and strike at him. Yes. Yes. Folks, let's go back over to Galatians chapter 5. What am I saying? We're going to start with that one. I'm saying that Paul is letting the church at Galatia know, not that you're saved, don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Make sure you walk in the freedom. And he said, in this freedom, there is the Spirit's call on you. And you need to walk in the Spirit and not to feel the lust of flesh. He said, but I'm going to give you a test here. If you're walking in the flesh, this is what it's going to look like. The first category is going to be these sins against the body that we get into. And the second category, these religious sins that we get into. We put things before God. But then he says this third category is social sins. We're sinning against others. He said it starts with hatred. It starts with variance. And people aren't born that way from birth. We learn that stuff. And we're taught that stuff. And somebody's got to get it out of us. Parents, it's your job and it's my job to discipline children to get it out. Because if you don't, God's got ways of getting it out of them. It's called the penitentiary. It's called jail. It's called the grave. You don't want that way. None of that way is God's way. God's way is to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's way. But my friend, if we don't do it the right way, we'll manifest these things. Our children will manifest these things. They'll go out into the world. They'll go out into the workplace and think somebody owes them something. And that's where we live at today.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
That's where we live at today. Everybody owes me something. No, what you are owed is a spanking. That's what you should have got a long time ago. And let's repay you back in full. Retrospect. God has a good way of spanking children that don't get discipline. And most of us here, we're adults. And some of these things weren't corrected in our life. And because they weren't corrected, they manifest. And we're walking in the spirit, not in the flesh. And folks, that's not where you want to walk. We're going to end there, but I encourage you. Look at this. Take the flesh test. Take this self-test. Do you have hatred today against somebody else? Dark, ugly feelings of bitterness. Do you have variance? Are you at strife with people at your job? Are you constantly quarreling with somebody? Are you disagreeing with authority? Contentious debate. Do you have that today? Get rid of it. Cover it under. It's over. It's done. You got emulations. You have resentment inside because somebody else has what you want. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Walk in the Spirit. Wrath, fierce passion, violent temper like Saul, going to throw a javelin at somebody because you can't get your way.
Whoa.
Tell you what, if we let our wrath go, there'd be a lot of dead people around here.
Yes, sir.
If you let your wrath go and I let my wrath go, there'd be a lot of dead people around here. That's why Paul is warning them, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hey folks, none of this can be done unless you're saved. You must be born again. You have got to have the Spirit of God to walk in the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit without the Spirit of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, all these things that we talked about here are sins, sins, sins. And the Bible said the wages of sins is death. But the gift of God, hallelujah, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And such were some of you, Paul said, but ye are washed, but ye are clean. Hey, folks, when we get saved, these things shouldn't be manifest in our life, but we're one step away from taking the shoes off and walking in the flesh and not walking in. We're one step away. You take that shoe off and you don't walk in the Spirit, you will manifest these things here, even as a child of God. Even as a child of God. Say, preacher, I don't want to manifest that. Folks, none of us should want to. And that's why we need the Spirit's help. The old tenet is still there. But we call the shots now by the Spirit's power. We can say, hey, look, the Spirit's in charge. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, where are you at today? If you are manifesting any of these as a saved person, confess it to God and tell him you want to walk in the Spirit. If you're here without Christ today, let God know, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I don't want the wages of sin, which is death. I want to be born again today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, serious things the Bible discusses here. The works of the flesh are manifest. Three categories. Immoral sins against the body. All of us are capable of doing these things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, unclean minds, impure minds by what we watch, what we see. Religious sins against worship, idolatry, witchcraft. Lord, we are guilty at some point of putting other things before you. And then, Lord, these social sins, sins against others, hatred, variance, emulations. We weren't born that way. We were taught that way. We were conditioned that way by society. And our sin nature, self, took over and has made a mess of our lives. But I'm so glad that we have the Spirit's power to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill lust of the flesh. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Help us with any of these areas that are manifest to get it right. Maybe we need to confess it and repent. Maybe we just need to get saved. Well, whatever it is, speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. I mean, would say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I am not absolutely 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? Right where you're at, man, woman, boy, or girl. I'm not sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, preacher. Remember me in your closing prayer. If I died right now, I'm not absolutely sure. I want to go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not sure. Preacher, pray for me. You raise your hand right where you sit. I won't call you out. I'll just acknowledge your hand, and you can put it right back down, anyone at all. Christian, how about you? What's been manifest in your life this week? What's characterized itself in your life? Has it been idolatry? Have you put other things before God? Get it right. Has it been witchcraft? Are you involved in a drug use excessively that you should not be involved in? Get it right. Is it social sins, hatred, variance against someone else? Get it right. Emulations, wrath? Get it right. Get it right. Father, thank you. Bless now this invitation as Christians pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. As Gregory plays the invitation, you let God speak to your heart. Perhaps you've got somebody that you need to pray for. Or maybe it's a father. Maybe it's a mother. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe you need to pray for your workplace. people that you deal with. Maybe they have been manifesting some things and you have been responding like King Saul with wrath. Or maybe you've been responding with emulations and variance and hatred. That's not what the Christians should do. So maybe you need to come and pray. Or maybe you need to say, Lord, keep me strong that I can continue walking in the Spirit. So I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, it's hard. I'm around people with witchcraft. I'm around people with hatred. I'm around people with variance and emulations. I'm around people that are wrathful. God, keep me walking in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm around those that are involved in adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and I don't want to get tainted by that. Lord, help me to walk the way I ought to. Paul encouraged them, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul makes it crystal clear what they need to do to walk in the Spirit, what should be manifest and what should not. Where are you at today? Sins against others. Social sins. So, preacher, that's a long list. Yes, but it's actually even longer than that. Paul said, and such like. Say, preacher, I'm saved, and how can I still be committing those? Because if you're saved, you're probably walking in the flesh. And you should be walking in the Spirit. Folks, all of us are capable of walking in the flesh as a saved person. All it takes is to take the shoes off and walk according to our own nature. The old man. Obey the old tenet. Do what that old man tells us to do. But the new man is created in light and righteousness and holiness. How about it today? Do you need to be saved? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Perhaps you're already saved. Maybe you need to surrender for baptism. Would you come? Perhaps you say, preacher, I'm already saved. I'm already baptized by the glory of God, and I need a new church to join. Maybe this is the place you need to come and talk to us about what it takes to become a member of the Shining Light Baptist Church. I don't know who you are, but God knows, and He knows your need. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. I want to thank you for your grace. Thank you for making us aware of this constant battle, the ordinary nature versus the extraordinary nature. I want to thank you that we don't have to stay with the ordinary nature. We can receive new life in Jesus Christ. You say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Lord, help us to trust the written word of God and the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live and walk in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's manifest, Lord. It's seen. Others can see. But most of all, you see. So Lord, rectify the areas of our lives that are crooked. Help us to be obedient to the Spirit's call. Lord, may we do what you have called us to do, and keep us tender and conscious and aware of what our actions involve and entail, and help us to be quick to confess it and keep short accounts with you. Lord, we're all vulnerable and susceptible to these things. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Help us by the Spirit's power to overcome. You said you have overcome the world, and that's the victory. It's our faith. So, Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Dismiss us with your blessings. And bring us back tonight. Hear what you laid upon Pastor White's heart to encourage us in our walk for tomorrow and tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. Pastor White's going to come and give us our closing announcements. But you make sure you're back tonight at 5 o'clock. God's laid some things upon his heart. We need to hear, Pastor White.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor White.
As we're going to be dismissed today, we would ask that you could help out men, women, boys, and girls that would like to help. Help us get the fellowship area set up for the evening service right after our prayers ended. That would be a great help just across the way. Also, as far as the church is concerned, there's no activities going on this week. For as church is concerned, I pray that you still be out witnessing and telling other people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that would be great. And just be in prayer that God would continue to work and use this church to be a beacon of light in a lost and dark world. Amen. But what the world needs is Jesus, and we need to be doing our part in doing it. Amen. But those are the things that we want to make you aware of that are coming up here shortly. So be in prayer about what God would have you to do and where we have you to be and what he would have you to do this coming week. Let's bow for prayer and ask God's blessings as we depart. Father, thank you again for your blessing, Lord. Thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the truths that we find in it, Lord, that we can be instructed, Lord, that we can give an area of pursuit that we need to change in our lives, that we can be more effective witnesses for you. Lord, that we won't walk in this old flesh, Lord, we walk in the new spirit in which you've given us and the power that we have in the Spirit of God to perform and do the things that will be pleasing to you and not to our flesh. Again, we love you and praise you and thank you for our pastor and his willingness to preach such a powerful message this morning that would touch the hearts and lives of all that will be in hearing distance of what he said. I pray your blessings upon us, Lord, not help us not just to be hearers of the word, Lord, help us to be doers of the word as well. And again, I pray if there be any here this morning that do not know Christ as Savior, God, I pray they will not leave without making that decision for you before it's eternally too late. Bless now, I pray, as we depart, bring us back tonight at the appointed time, and we'll be careful now to praise you and to thank you for all that you've done and for what you're going to do. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
And amen.